O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanks be every moment thine. Our Lady of the Most Holy Sacrament, pray for us. It's a unique position of this ambo in this church, somewhat not unfitting at this point to preach about the Eucharist while actually looking at the Eucharist at the same time. Hopefully it'll be of some assistance. In about 10 days or so, we'll be heading into that liturgical season known as Lent, where some of us start to cringe maybe about what that's going to mean for us, the suffering and the penance and the fasting. But more than that, we are reminded of what Lent is supposed to be about, at least in part, on the very first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, when you receive the ashes on your head. And there are two different things that the priest may say, but usually you hear, "Remember, O man, from dust you came, and from dust you shall return." That remembrance that we are but dust is very important. It's very easy to forget as well in the daily goings-on in our life. We forget that we are really dust. We came from nothing, and we will turn back into nothing, at least the fleshy parts of us. We will all die. There's no getting away from it. We will all die. You've all heard the expression, the only two certainties are taxes and death. And you know, for the Franciscan, the only certainty is death without the taxes. But we will. And so during Lent, we need to remember that, yes, the day will come when our soul leaves our body and we will turn into dust. But this thought of death is not for the sake of death itself. That would just be extremely morbid. No, we think of death so that we might live well. We might live right. So that on the day of our death, when our soul goes to meet its maker and its judge, we may not be afraid. So that in living this life, we may not fear the day of death, if we now remember that we are but dust. But how do we live a good life? We know that to live a good life means to love God. And as Jesus Christ made it very, very, very clear, how do we know if we love him? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, what are the commandments? Obviously, the Ten Commandments, and which are summarized in the commandments that Jesus Christ gave us. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these are summed up all the commandments, all the things that we are obliged to do if we want to reach salvation, achieve salvation. But it's not easy to live these things. I was listening to Christian radio the other day, and there was a preacher on there, non-Catholic, which was obvious by his doctrine, which is a little bit off track. He was saying that the Ten Commandments, this is erroneous by the way, he said the Ten Commandments, you don't have to follow them for salvation. You can't follow them. It's impossible, he was saying. You don't need them for salvation. Well, that's wrong. First and foremost, if you want to achieve salvation, we need to follow the Ten Commandments. There's an element of what he said which may be true, to give him some benefit of the doubt. We can't follow them unless we get help from God. You know, it's actually dogmatic, it's within the church, something in which we are bound to believe, that man cannot avoid sin without grace, without God's help. And so for us to be ready for death and to meet our Maker, for us to be able to follow the commandments, we need help. We need help. The good news is that God hasn't put us in an impossible position. He's put us in a position where not only is there sufficient help, theologically we say there's sufficient grace, there's sufficient help, there is a superabundance of help, because the help is God himself. And God is infinite. For our sake, God also, in a certain sense, but in a real sense, took on our flesh, became dust, if you will, for us. Of course, he never returned to dust. And so he gives us in himself the solution to our problem. He is the solution. He is the way we live out the commandments. He is the way that we will have life in this world and in the world to come. You remember in John chapter 6, if you do not eat my flesh and do not drink my blood, you cannot have life within you. Here is the secret of, yes, remembering that we will die, but not being afraid of that day. It's the only way. And so this Lent, we need to contemplate this greatly. Maybe this is something that we can do. Just contemplate this gift, this essential gift for us of the Eucharist. It is not something that, it is often something that is taken so much for granted. It is so often something which is not understood. We cannot understand it completely. It's an infinite mystery. And therefore, you know, we'll have all of eternity to come to understand it more and more. And yet it is something, it is someone whom we must embrace. We must embrace more completely. We must allow it, him, to embrace our life more completely. How many of us, if we are truly honest with ourselves, can say, oh yes, Jesus in the Eucharist is the center of my life? It's a tough thing, and yet that's what he asks us. And if we allow him to be the center of our life, all fear of death and fear of every other thing will be wiped away. Because if we desire to be with him now in this world, in the Eucharist, if he's the center of our life now, he will be the center of our life for all eternity. Once again, on the theme of Lent. Often in Lent, we take up some penance. We give something up to show God, Lord, I love you more than this particular pleasure that I have. And not just the sinful things. We're supposed to be giving up sins all the time. We don't just give up sinning during Lent. But those things, those legitimate pleasures and joys and goods that we have, we give them up to show God and to show ourselves that we do love God more than these things. Sometimes we don't put sugar in our tea or coffee. Sometimes we don't have coffee at all, whatever it might be. But maybe something we could sacrifice this Lent is our time. All of us are busy. Believe me, we are all busy. And yet, the one person who can make us less busy, who can give us more time, we forget to visit. The creator of time, that's what he wants from us most of all. We give him our time and we show him our love. We know that for those whom we love, we wish to spend time with. You know, we know that if somebody's not spending time with us, we start to grow a bit suspicious if their love is real. Now, God knows our hearts. He knows what we have to do. But again, he is the author of time. And so maybe this is the Lent where we give him a little more time. Now, you might not be able to commit to an hour a week of adoration. But then again, you might be able to. Or what about just dropping in to see our Lord when you're near a church? Even if the door is locked, one of our friars recently, he was on his way here from America on an extremely cheap flight, which took him through Honolulu at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he wanted to pray in front of the Eucharist, and all he could do was kneel in front of the church doors. Someone called the cops on him, of course, and he didn't get arrested, but such was his love and his desire to be with our Lord. We don't have to do that. Most of us live near churches. Most of us have transport to churches. Let us maybe make this Lent something we do. Maybe something even might even be heroic, a holy hour every day, or at least a holy half hour, or something that you can do for Jesus and Eucharist. I promise you, and this promise is not just my promise, this is God's promise, and this is the experience of the saints. If you give God some time every day, especially a holy hour, your life will change, without doubt. If you make that effort, then your relationship with him will grow. Who doesn't want a better relationship with Jesus Christ? If that's not one of your goals in life, then your life is not centered correctly. It's not going in the right direction. Lent is an excellent opportunity because there are many more graces to do these types of things. Let us therefore examine ourselves. Recognize that up to this point we haven't loved God as we should have, but not lose hope. He is still here in our midst. He's still here waiting for us like a loving father. Let us therefore this Lent go to him more often. Pray to him for the grace to be holy, to be faithful, and to help as many souls as possible get to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.